Hi and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show. I'm Atiq Ahmed Bhatti, a fourth generation homeopath with over 25 years of professional experience and practice in this field of healing. The Homeopathy Health Show is the online voice of homeopathy around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing, which is suitable for all ages, young and old. Every week, I invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy. Why not visit www.liketreatslike.co.uk and click on the radio and podcast button to listen to the latest episodes. So let's begin today's show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Hi and welcome to another episode of the Homeopathy Health Show here on the UK Health Radio Network. And of course, I'm your host, the one and only Atiq Ahmed Bhatti. So I do hope you're well and in good health. And as always, I hope and pray it remains that way. I've had a very, very busy week. And it's strange, isn't it? Because everyone I talk to is so rushed off their feet. But hey, it's good things as well. Sometimes it can be challenging, of course, can't it? But that's where homeopathy comes in, of course. And hey, I've got a really, really amazing guest for you today. I'm so excited. I've been waiting ages. And finally, we've been able to schedule and connect. And that is none other than Robert Field, who is the founder and chancellor of the Resonance School of Homeopathy, which is based in Nevada in the USA. Now, Robert discovered the miracles of homeopathic medicine in 1992, and his life was never the same. He attended the Pacific Academy of Homeopathic Medicine, and he completed the course Foundations of Classical Homeopathy. Now, interestingly enough, as part of that program, Robert was introduced to many fine teachers, including Louis Klein, whom we all know, Jeremy Scher, of course, from the Dynamist School and Homeopathy for Health in Africa, and Vega Rosenberg. Now, it was when he attended Vega's lecture that he knew he could master the real spiritual excellence of homeopathy, and Robert became a student of Vega and received his certified training certificate in 1996. And from the North Society of Homeopaths, he received his accreditation in 1997. And it doesn't stop there. It was a trilogy, I must say. In 2001, he became licensed with the Nevada Homeopathic Medical Board as an advanced practitioner of homeopathy. Amazing achievements indeed. So, Robert Field, thank you so much for coming on the Homeopathy Health Show. Welcome virtually, and such an honor and delight to have you on.
Thank you, Atiq. I appreciate the opportunity to share myself with the entire homeopathic community and appreciate what you're doing with your health podcast.
It's mind-boggling at times. I get the figures, and sometimes they don't always release the actual listenership figures, but it's into hundreds of thousands.
Wow. Wow. That's big. That's big. And it's really a perfect time for this and homeopathy, because I think there are a lot of people outside of the homeopathic community who are getting involved and learning, you know, becoming a part of that homeopathic community, which is growing rapidly.
And, you know, together we can raise that flag of homeopathy, which is absolutely needed at this time. This is the right time.
More than ever. Post-COVID, the world has changed, and there has never been a better time for homeopathy to make another resurgence.
So many people, Robert, are now genuinely interested in homeopathy. Even just today, somebody called me and they said, which course should I take? And, you know, what should I do? I want to do homeopathy. I have this calling. I feel this is right. And then they asked that, oh, but I'm too old. I said, that's the wrong approach. You're never too old. When your time is there, it's your time.
That's correct. I completely agree. I have some students that are in their 70s, and heck, I've had students in their 80s. One medical doctor here in Reno, licensed under the Homeopathic Medical Board, so he was already somewhat compassionate to homeopathy, but he didn't even really understand the depth of homeopathy. And when he attended one of my classes, he was completely transformed. He said, "Oh my gosh, this is what we're doing here now." And he became a serious student, even after having been introduced to homeopathy, but learning it at a quite rudimentary level. And
It's interesting because, and I have had this conversation with so many people because I know you could be a homeopath for 50 years and end up treating not as many people as someone who perhaps, and this is of course individual, and I'm talking about everybody's calling, who could graduate in their 70s but treat tens of thousands of people with success. So it's not about age, it's not about time, it's about when it's your time to help as many people as are, I suppose, for want of a better word, written in your destiny to help and treat.
That's exactly true. I approach it the exact same way.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. When your time is your time. Because you see, that's the beauty of homeopathy. It speaks so much to truth. And that truth is an integral part of who we are as a homeopath. So when we show up and say, "Hey, I'm going to help people," and there's a real resonance with this thing about homeopathy. It's as much about the spiritual and spiritual evolution of the homeopath as it is about them learning about homeopathy and stepping into the role. So it's a spiritual journey, no matter how you look at it. And there's always time for that in a lifetime. Always.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we must begin at the beginning, as far as you are concerned, Robert Field, which is 1992. That's actually not the beginning.
No, that's not the beginning.
I
That was a dovetail. That was the perfect crossroads at that time.
That was a pivotal year for you, life-changing. For the listeners, do share, what took place in that year and how it changed your destiny and the rest of your life.
Well, the year came together as a pivotal year, but obviously leading up to that was equally as pivotal because it set the conditions for homeopathy to discover me. And I really mean it that way. It wasn't that I was looking for homeopathy, but it found me. And gosh, where to begin? All of my life, I've been interested in spirituality, metaphysics, healing to, some degrees. When I was five, I remember saying I thought I wanted to be a brain surgeon. And my aunt said to me, "Oh, a brain surgeon? Why a brain surgeon?" And I said, "Well, because that I could help people, right?" And I didn't have a clue what I was really saying. But looking back, as I remember the conversation distinctly, looking back, I see the correlation, and the predisposition somewhere in me was to help people. And so as I discovered myself in the world of higher education and found that that really didn't work for me, I found myself working and wanting to work with my hands, and ended up in Finland working at a steel mill and doing carpentry work for a while, and then really was into the fine arts of furniture making and things like that. So I had my own shop and was quite successful and built cabinetry and furniture for years. But then life had a different plan. And at the time, married and my two children, and my wife got bit by this what they call a kissing bug. It's only in a very limited elevation in the Sierra Nevada foothills. It's not a well-known little insect, and some people have severe allergic reactions to it. And my wife did, and it set up a whole cascade of health events for her that over a 4-year period of time led to led to the beginnings of that crossroad. I recognized during the time that, we took her to the doctor, and she had hives all over her body, and they gave her antihistamines, and then, you know, would go away, but it would come right back. That pattern was for a year, and then it went to nonspecific urethritis. We don't know why you're having these urinary tract infections. Well, it had been suppressed, but that wasn't an idea at the time. And that went on for a year, and antibiotics and tests and more tests, and now we can't find out what's going on. Everything looks good. And then it reappeared as eczema, and especially on her hands. And I mean, her hands were so dry and cracked that they would just bleed. She couldn't even open her hands this far. And, you know, what do you do without hands? You're pretty limited. It's a, you know, crippling situation. And that, and other circumstances within our neighborhood, the place we were living, it was a rural environment, but were really challenging. And it came to a point where, you know, we need to do something different. This, our family, we are all suffering in a huge way. And seemingly there are a lot of events that are beyond our control. And what are we going to do? And I went on a trip, rafting trip down the Rogue River in Oregon. And during that time, I contemplated a lot about, you know, what's the best thing for for our family. And I came to the idea that we should go away, and we should take a round the world trip, and we should heal. And that was the parameters. We're going to go around the world. We're going to go as a family, and this the whole purpose is to heal. Now, I didn't know what that looked like, but it was to heal. So I came back, and I said to, you know, my wife, I said, you know, I think we should travel. I think we should get out of Dodge and take the money that we could use to, you know, try to defend our space here, you know, circumstances way beyond our control, and we should just go and lick our wounds and heal and get back to life.
It's such a inspiring and such a mature way of doing things. It's so important, and so many millions, or should I say billions, cannot. But you did it, and that's so important. Family first,
Well,
you know?
I
Family first.
had the support of my wife, my family, my children. My daughter was 9, my son was 5, and we looked all at each other and said, "We're doing it, okay? Yeah, let's do it." And we literally bought tickets and were gone within less than 2 weeks. We had just set up our life right there and said, "We're gone." Our first stop was in New Zealand, and I'd always had a strong passion for wanting to visit New Zealand. It was my first time there. And so we bought a car, and we were going to spend a few months and travel around. We wanted to have the freedom of just, you know, travel. And literally within the first day, I realized, oh my gosh, what are we doing? Because, you know, loading up the car and even getting out of the car or even opening the car door, my wife, she couldn't do any of that because the eczema was so bad. And so literally day two in our journey, you know, I said, we need help. I don't know what it is. We just need help. And I went to a phone book, and I opened the phone book, and the only thing that I saw, and it was like it just jumped off the page at me, was Homeopathic Society. And I said, homeopathic, that sounds like it has something to do with healing. Now maybe I'll just give them a call. So I called this number, and a woman answered the phone, and I said, the Homeopathic Society, does that have anything to do with healing? She goes, yes. And I said, well, you know, we're here on holiday, and my wife has a bad eczema on her hands. We need help, you know, can homeopathy help? And she says, oh, absolutely. You need to go talk to this person in Rotorua. So we went to Rotorua, and the homeopath there invited us, and they ran a small little motel adjacent to their living area there, and invited us to spend the night. And she was going to speak with my wife in the morning. Now, I had no idea what any of this meant, but the morning came. They talked, and she sent my wife away with some little white pills. And she says, "Why don't you seem like a nice family. Why don't you go stay in our summer house on this lake?" And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is like, here we just arrived in this country and we've been given a place to live and kind of lick our wounds, you know? And so she says, I want to talk to you in a week. And I said, okay. So we go out to the lake and it's beautiful, just a gorgeous setting. And she takes these little pills. And man, within every day, I could see another level, another layer, another group of symptoms come to the surface and flood out of her. And it was like watching a movie being unwound. And I was in awe. I said, what are those little pills? Because what I'm seeing is undeniable. It's just simply undeniable. So we went back to the homeopath after the week had passed. And I said, well, what did you give her? I said, that stuff is amazing because I'm seeing everything start to unwind here. You know, this is an incredible journey. And you know, what is this stuff? She said, oh, it was the, you know, energy of salt. I go, wait a minute, salt. She gets salt every day in her diet. And you know, you can have salt. She has salt all the time. She goes, no, it was the energy of salt. I said, well, what does that mean? She goes, I'm not going to tell you. I said, come on now, this isn't fair. You know, because you're the practitioner, don't you owe that to your client to, like, you know? And she says, yes, but if I share it with you, I'm going to ruin it for you. And I said, how could you ruin, you know, giving me information? She says, well, you just don't know it yet, but someday you're going to be a great homeopath. And I looked at her like, you know, you are like, she challenged every one of my beliefs right in that moment because I couldn't even relate to what this idea of homeopathy was. So she says, why don't you go back and you know, spend it a couple more weeks and come back again and you know, here, read this book. And she gave me the book The Patient Not the Cure by Marjorie Blackie. And well, I read that, but then the next time I was in town, we went to the pharmacies. I bought every book I could on homeopathy. We went to the library. I checked out a stack of books. Literally, it was probably 10 books like this, all on homeopathy. And I took them back and started reading.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And literally in that 2 week period of time, I read all those books and was quite fascinated by all those Latin terms and words I couldn't speak and I didn't know how to say. And like, but it was fascinating, you know, all of that. And I was starting to get the idea that, yeah, there's something to this. There's a lot of information, but it really didn't click why and what was really happening. And none of the books explained it in a way that I grokked it, that I really understood it. So I was lying on the floor. It was wintertime in New Zealand. The sun was quite low in the sky. This room had beautiful glass windows, and the sun was just felt so good. And I was lying there and contemplating this thing, homeopathy. Come on, what is it? I need to put it into some understanding. And then in an instant, literally, it was like the light bulb, the epiphany moment, it happened. And in one instant was like an instant download of, oh my gosh, now I understand this. And what I realized was this has nothing to do with the physical body. It has to do with the spiritual vital force. And when the spiritual vital force is animated into a healing response, then we see it reflected into the physical body. And the vital force was responsible for all of it, all of our health, all of our suffering, and was the vehicle to be able to get us here in this time-space continuum we call planet Earth and this, you know, physical existence, this reality, and that it was timeless and beyond that. And that happened in like an instant, literally. It was like, oh my gosh, everything that I'd ever studied metaphysically, spiritually, religion, it doesn't matter, it all fit. If it was truth, it fit in this idea of homeopathy because it was in alignment with something that I was already in resonance with, but had never connected it up or put words to it. But more importantly than the words was the image and the feeling of what it really is about. And from that moment on, my life has been the life of homeopath. I mean, literally, in an instant, it changed. And once I got that, wow, it was a big moment. So I took all those books and all my children's books because we were kind of homeschooling on the road, you know, and we traveled from New Zealand, Australia, all through Indonesia, and us carrying these two giant book bags, one full of homeopathy books and the other one filled with school books for our kids, you know, and reading material. And everywhere we went, we had our heavy, heavy, heavy thing of books. But It was a journey of discovery. It was a journey of truly kind of like coming home. And so, you know, I'll make this slightly briefer, but there's an important story here. When we got to Indonesia, we ended up in the Gili Islands off of Lombok, kind of a place that tourists go to, but it's quite rural and very undeveloped. And while there, you know, we stayed in this little grass hut, and the people that ran this little place, one of the gals that was helping, a young girl, maybe 16 years old, she had a boil on her knee that was huge and red and angry. It was like, oh my gosh. And I said, maybe I can help you with homeopathy, you know? And so it was like, you know, the first thing of doing anything, right? So I offered her belladonna, and she took the belladonna, and she came the next morning back to, you know, deliver our little breakfast and things. And the boil had completely drained, and the skin had already started to attach. And she was like a day away from it disappearing entirely. And she was just like, look, that's a miracle. You did, you know. Oh man, I was gobstruck myself, you know. I was like, that's pretty good. Yeah, well, I guess it helped. I don't know. And then the next day, we get up in the morning, and the little porch where the stairs were going off this grass hut that was off the ground was all of this fruit. Like the porch was covered with fruit. And where did all this fruit come from? And what is this fruit doing here? And, you know, I look up and there's a whole line of people, like 25 people, about, you know, 30, 40 feet away from our hut, giving us our space, lined up waiting for me to help them with homeopathy.
Brilliant.
So how do you say no to that? I mean, these people were in need And I had a little kit with me that we had purchased in New Zealand. It had like 20 homeopathic remedies in it. And I had several repertories, Borecki's in particular. And so I used Borecki's repertory, and I couldn't speak Indonesian. And the one of the other guys there spoke pretty good English. And so he was the translator. And I sat there with my book and I listened to people's stories, and I had 20 remedies to choose from. So I would just make the best choice possible and then, give them their little medicine and then go off. And so, I mean, this was within 2.5, maybe 3 months of discovering homeopathy. And so it found me and it came to me. I reached out one time, the very first time, with the remedy for this gal with the boil, and the end result was, wow, you're a homeopath, time to get to work. And I've been a homeopath ever since.
You know what's fascinating, and I know you're going to agree with what I'm going to say, is homeopathy is, like we discussed at the start, is a calling. It's not for everybody,
It's
and
true.
that time happens. Now, what were the chances of you thinking that you needed to get that space with your family to heal? And isn't it amazing that your objective was to heal as a family? And
Yes.
what transpired? The other side of the world, where then you became the healer. How
Yeah.
amazing is that?
Completely amazing.
You
You
went
know,
on a
if it
journey.
hadn't happened to me, it would sound like a beautiful story, like, oh, make a little movie about
The
that.
one who wanted to heal actually became the healer. I mean,
Yeah.
come on, you couldn't make this thing up. It's so fantastic. And I know so many homeopaths who have this calling. We discussed age and everything else, but also the fact that the US is huge, but that door didn't open at home. You had to fly around half, across the world, technically, on the other side of the world. And then you found, or you were given that gift. Isn't that
Yeah.
just amazing, when you ponder over that?
Yeah. I mean, what are the chances? And there were so many things that happened on that journey that were truly beyond coincidence. Very much beyond coincidence. That time that we spent on Gilyer, that island there were only a few other Westerners there. I walked past this another group of cabanas or whatever you call them, and I heard some English being spoken. So I stopped in and said, "Hey, somebody speaking English here? I speak English. Hey, how are you doing? Hi." And one of the girls was from New Zealand, and so oh wow, we just came from New Zealand. And she told me her name, and I said, "That's kind of funny because on the television, the head of all Health New Zealand is this woman that has the same last name as you." And she goes, "Yeah, that's my mom." I said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "That's just well, hi, pleased to meet you." And they ask about our travels. "Yeah, we're going to go back to New Zealand, collect our car, and we're going to go down to the South Island." She goes, "Oh, when you go to the South Island, you have to meet my friends." And I said, "Okay." And she goes, "And I'm supposed to be there, but I'm not going to make it. So you're going to be there before me. I want you to go and tell them that I'm okay and I'm coming, and to welcome you." Well, okay. Well, prior to that, someone said, "Go talk to the psychic." Okay. And the psychic woman says, "Oh, there's someone on the South Island in this town called Hokitika that you need to meet, and you're going to meet." Now, we had no plans for this at all. And here we go all the way to it's such a story, right? We go all the way to Indonesia, and I meet the daughter of the head of the health, Whole Health New Zealand, and she's telling me to go meet this person in Hokitika who's going to help me. The same person that the psychic person had seen. So I was like, wait a minute, this is what is happening here when things are happening beyond our seeming control, and it's all benevolent, it's all good stuff, and it's beyond coincidence. It really does open a door for for a greater belief, you know.
Absolutely,
It
yeah.
doesn't require faith when it's really happening, because now it's a belief. Now it's like there's more going on here than we really understand.
It's amazing how destiny works, isn't it?
Yeah, destiny.
And you know, this story is it's such a beautiful illustration of how homeopathy calls the people that are needed to help others. So again, I will say it again for the purposes of those listening in. The one who wanted to heal himself and his family ended up being the healer. And it wasn't local. They had to travel, you know, halfway around the world, or should I say the other side of the world. And that's where it happened. And we, Robert, we hear these stories often where somebody has tried, well, I certainly do, where people have tried homeopathy even locally, and or they've tried any form of medicine, let's say. But it's only until they travel and they go to a remote part, even remote villages, and I'm sure you know this as well, because you mentioned Indonesia, and that's where they find healing. So everybody's, even healing destiny is written, you know, as such.
Oh, I completely agree. You know? I completely agree.
And it's interesting, isn't it, that how our psyche and the way we are built, you know, gives you this calling. I've had people who have suffered life-changing health conditions, and they've been through the mill, literally. Life's thrown everything at them. You know, trials, tribulations, horrors, worries, everything. And then homeopathy comes along the way, and they actually find peace by helping others. Homeopathy is a service to humanity, is it not? Under the big umbrella.
Wow.
It's one of the best services to humanity.
That's absolutely
what we're doing,
true.
Right? Day in, day out. It wakes me up and gets me to, I help people. I was having this conversation with my neighbor literally a few days ago about something else that took place, a trial as such, a tribulation, let's say. And I said, I'm going to help you, even though it was his fault. And I said, and he said, why? And I said, because I spend my whole day helping people. So why would I not help you for something else? And the expression on his face was just, he actually didn't know what to say. I said, look, we have to work with each other. We have to trust each other. We have to have respect. And that requires justice. You know, you have to be just. I have to be just to you. You have to be just to me. And he totally changed. You know, you could see it from his face. Because,
oh, absolutely.
Certain idea or perception about who I am, it totally vanished. Same for me. And that's homeopathy as well, isn't it? Because the practitioner-patient relationship and where it leads to is just amazing.
The reason why it's just, the reason I believe, is because it's based in truth. That you know, Hahnemann's observations were, he made truthful reports about that and made truthful conclusions in his contemplations about, well, you know, what he was you know, trying to understand. And it's based in truth. And I think that truth just simply resonates. It's, you know, a close concept of love. I think love is, you know, the highest and probably most important or primal concept that we hold as humans. You know, it's all kind of a projection, but this idea of love, it's the binding force, right? And truth is like right there next to it, right underneath it, and it's based in truth. And so then when you follow any principle in homeopathy, it's going to lead you more into truth. And when you're following truth, it won't lead you astray. Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? You mentioned Hahnemann, and I actually was going to say something about that, which is that a God-fearing, humble man walked this earth, and he had a mission because he wanted to help those who were sick. And he moved over 30 times, you know, roughly. He faced bitter persecution. You know, he was ridiculed, laughed at, called all sorts of names. And yet he never gave up. Imagine moving with your family, say it's the 25th time, and somebody was laughing at you just an hour ago, or calling you a quack or whatever they wanted to call, and then still sitting at your desk and saying, right, let me just observed the effects of this remedy, which I took before my travels. I mean, wow, you know, wow, Ooh. Wow, wow, you know.
Committed to truth. He was committed to truth. You know, since COVID, you know, the world has really kind of changed, and it's become much more polarized in terms of, you know, truth versus untruth. And so now a lot of people post-COVID are, they've lost their trust in allopathic medicine. But the allopathic world was equally intact during Hahnemann's time, and he met with that same level of persecution. Mm. But he didn't alter because it was based in truth. Now, when I talk with some of my clients, you know, I listen to myself as I give my little speech about homeopathy. And, you know, from a perspective of like not having considered any of what I'm saying about the spiritual aspects and the truth of homeopathy, having ever considered that, it would sound like quackery. And I say that to people. I said, I know, I get it. This sounds like it's too good to be true or something like that. But I said, listen to me. I've been doing this for close to 35 years. And after that length of time, seeing it repeatedly over and over and over and over again, it is not placebo. And it is based in truth. And yes, these principles are really true. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this after this amount of time. Hmm. I mean, bottom line, it's like I couldn't. I would be a fraud. I would be, you know, I'm not a fraud. I can't be that person, you know. So, yeah, at one level, it seems like it's impossible that this could really be true, these spiritual aspects of homeopathy and what really happens. But it is.
And also, it's such a humble system of medicine. Homeopathy doesn't have an ego. It's not proud. It's just a...
We better be the unprejudiced observer, or we should be giving the homeopathic remedy to ourselves, you know?
But it makes the practitioner so humble as well. We're not out there to gain stardom. It's a service to humanity and a service to humanity. In fact, I tell you something, personally, it's only helped me to reflect and ponder and to better myself. And I love that, because I think without homeopathy, who knows where I would have been. But here I am.
Yeah, right.
It's helping me to become a better person because of the lifestyle, because of seeing how people who were really, really suffering are getting better. And then they end up becoming friends, or they refer others. And I mean, again, wow, you know, it's just so beautiful, isn't it, to be able to be able to help others.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I've never looked back. From that moment, it has only been homeopathy as a life path, truly.
You know, somebody a few months back, they said, oh, the phone keeps ringing and I'm so tired. I'm really tired. I said, that's fine. But now let's just ponder and reflect on this. The phone is ringing from who? People who need help. I said, wow. So let's think of it this way. How fortunate you are, because who are you in the grand scheme of things, that people are picking up the phone to call you to help them? I said, can you get a better life than that? You know?
Yeah, truly.
I mean, wow. You're sitting at home watching TV or doing whatever. Somebody's calling you to say, oh, can you help me?
You're a bodhisattva. We're bodhisattvas, you know? That's that whole principle of service and... I wouldn't have it any other way. The greatest joys that I have in my life truly are when my client finally makes a huge shift and is like, oh my gosh, they've made the leap. They've gone to the place where their life is no longer like it used to be. And they can talk about it and reflect about it, but no longer are they living out of their dis-ease, their dis-ease. Mm-hmm. And you know, they come in with such joy. It's like, oh my gosh, that joy is infectious. I get a whole big hit off that, let me tell you.
Yeah. I have to say here, and I don't want to embarrass you, but you have the best voice, you know. It's so deep. And it's got this resonance in it itself. I love it. Such a good voice, such a strong voice, you know.
Don't know about that.
No comment. I know. But hey, Robert, tell me about the resident school and you know what that's about. And then I also want to ask you about your blog, a very interesting blog. But before that, do tell us about the resident school of homeopathy.
Yeah, you know, I was self-studied all of that time in our travels. I came back because I was self-employed, you know, I went back to work, you know, doing woodwork and cabinetry and things like that. Mm. And but I would study all day. And then I would say, oh, my God, I have to get some work done. And, you know, by 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock, you know, I'd get up and sit early in the morning, 4 or 5, and start reading. And I have to get some work done. And then I'd work till 8 or 9 o'clock at night, you know, getting my physical work done. And so I really didn't know much about the homeopathic community. And I went to the Pacific Academy of Homeopathic Medicine for 1 year. And then I met Vega Rosenberg, and it was through Vega that I realized I have met a master.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Stop suffering with pet-related allergies when near dogs and cats. Great news, you can feel safe around pets with NasalGuard for pet lovers. NasalGuard topical gel blocks pet dander, hair, and dust mites from entering your nasal passages. Try NasalGuard for pet lovers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about NasalGuard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, ant and deck, fish and chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And so Vega has done so much work creating signatures for homeopathic remedies, which is like an essence or a short description that really encapsulates the energy of what that remedy is about. And so when I had come to Reno, Nevada here, I built a home. It took 9 months of my life kind of off, built this big, beautiful home. And then realized I needed to like go introduce myself to the homeopathic community, start doing some work, doing something. And so I went to one of the homeopathic medical doctors, introduced myself, and he invited me to sit in with him. So I did. And he asked me for comments, and I'd make comments about couple remedies. He goes, "What are you doing tomorrow?" I said, "Well, I'm nothing really. Why don't you come back?" "Okay." So, I mean, literally from that first day of sitting in, I came back, I had my computer, my program, everything running, and started working. And during that time, I saw every single client that came through that clinic in the entire time that I was there. And that literally 10,000 people, you know, or 10,000, you know, visits, client visits. And so it was a great introduction. But as that was happening, more and more people were, you know, sitting with me. They kept saying, you know, "What is this thing, homeopathy? You know, why don't you like, you know, give a lecture or something?" And, okay. So I started collecting names. I had about 40 or 50 names. And I said, "Okay, you know, this Saturday, we're going to do this. And I'm going to, you know, give the introduction. And we're going to talk about homeopathy." So a whole bunch of people came. The room was completely packed. And I spoke about homeopathy. And then in the afternoon, we took a break. And afternoon, I said, why don't we do a case or something? And you could see homeopathy in action. And so someone volunteered and they told their story. And I explained, what I was doing and how it was all working and reparatizing and the remedies and what to consider. And I was just teaching homeopathy, right? How to be a homeopath. And everybody says, when are we doing this again? Are we doing it tomorrow? And I, what? What do you mean doing it tomorrow? And so they convinced me we should start doing this on a regular basis. And so I rented the room the next month and we did it again. And from that point on, I was a teacher of this school. And it happened because of public demand. It didn't happen because I had a great idea that, hey, I'm going to go start this school of homeopathy and I'm going to be a teacher. And I really, honestly, that was not even on my radar. And so by default, they kept showing up and we kept learning together. And from that day, initially back in 2001, January of 2001, I have taught 1 weekend per month every single year. And I've never missed a weekend of teaching each month. And this is going on, 20, almost 24 years.
Wow, that's real commitment.
It's real
It
commitment.
absolutely is.
Yeah. And so this school, I mean, tell me about the school. I realized that, as I learn more about homeopathic education, what I learned was that in the 2 years that I have self-studied, I probably was less prejudiced. And I'm using that word intentionally because it's true. I was less prejudiced. But after going to Pacific Academy of Homeopathic Medicine, I gained prejudice. And the reason I gained prejudice is because I was being taught to answer questions, multiple choice, or give explanations, and that it was to pass a test. And so then most of the information that I relearned at Pacific Academy, and I say relearned because I'd already learned it on my own, but I had integrated it in a slightly different way than passing a test and getting a diploma. And so then when I started studying with Vega Rosenberg, I'd come with this prejudiced knowledge. Oh, this is this, 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 and this. And so then therefore it has to be this remedy, lycopodium, whatever. And I'd be wrong. And it was like, how am I missing this so much? And it took me literally 2 years to unwind 1 year of education to get out of my prejudice of something I thought I really knew to the place that I could get free of my prejudice and now consider so many other different things involving who this person is that I'm prescribing or, giving a remedy for, trying to understand. And so I realized that homeopathic education is, you can learn a lot about homeopathy, about the remedies, but the training of becoming a homeopath is completely different because we are the tool. So I learned early on that I couldn't teach in a sense of this is the remedy and you're going to learn all of this and have tests, the standard allopathic way of learning homeopathy. I couldn't do it. And so I just started training my students by doing live cases and immediately recognizing in them that if you want to be a homeopath, okay, you are. Right now, I'm making you a homeopath. You're a student homeopath, and you're going to function now in the role of being a homeopath. Start functioning from that place. And it's an important distinction, especially building the foundation of who we are as a homeopath. And so the student evolves at the rate that they evolve, but in that evolution, they're also becoming more and more of the homeopath they're always meant to be and that they want to be, and they're stepping into it. So they're learning by doing versus learning by passing a test. And so their prejudice then is constantly releasing prejudice to be able to see more versus constantly passing more tests and gaining more information that only create a picture in our mind that we want to use. It's human nature, and we want to use that. So I consider that a prejudice because when we sit before our client, we should be empty vessels. Like, I don't know anything and fill me up.
Robert Field, until part two, thank you so very much. And I'll speak to you very, very soon.
All righty. Well, thank you for having me. And it's been a true joy. Thank you. You've allowed me to speak my heart and share my joy. Thank you.
I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Please do support the show by clicking follow on my socials. Remember, the more exposure the podcast receives, the better for homeopathy around the world. You can find me on Instagram by searching for @like_treatslike, and on both Facebook and TikTok by searching for @like_treatslike. So let's promote the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcast around the world together. Don't forget to visit me online at www.liketreatslike.co.uk and click on the radio and podcast tab. Here you'll be able to see all the guests that have joined me on the show so far. And of course, you can stream on demand the latest episode to your mobile, tablet or PC. Until next time, stay safe and take care.